Today we are looking in Romans chapter 7, the whole chapter. And I read that probably this is the most difficult chapter in this letter. And this is because if we look for every detail of this text, we can find many kinds of interpretations. We saw last week that in Christ we enter in a new relationship. We saw last week that in Christ we reach a new status. Romans 6 verse 14 says, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under the grace." So our goal today is not to discuss all details, just go give a summary of Romans chapter 7 and follow our theme. And the theme of the book is good news for everyone. Some scholars says the book of Romans is the gospel according to Paul, because it's the gospel there. It's the good news for everyone. So when I look this week for Romans chapter 7, I know that we have more, but three main themes I saw very strong in this chapter. The first one is the idea that the death finished the dominion of law. The verse 1 to verse 6, and we can follow here. And it's interesting that the six verses, Paul divide in three parts. The first thing, he gives a principle. And this was the principle. The law has authority of someone only as long as that person lives. And we can see this in verse 1. You can read with me. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? We can see just from the beginning here that Paul is talking with people who knows the law. Whereas the Jews, the brothers and sisters there, they know the law, but he want to enforce that. So we can see here, that the law has dominion over a man through whole life. The law has dominion over my life, over all your life, the whole life. Only one thing can break death. And Paul gives first a principle. And he follows in verse 2 and verse 3, give an example. And he uses a marriage as example. So verse 2 and verse 3 says, "For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man." So Paul uses the marriage to make an analogy between the law and the believers. And if you look here, seems that in that case, who is the husband? The husband is the law. And who is the wife? The wife are the believers. Okay? So Paul emphasizes here that the husband must die so that his wife can marry again. This is the point. So in the metaphor here, the marriage presented by Paul, the husband died so that the wife can marry again. So us can have a new husband, Jesus Christ. Okay? But it's very interesting here that now he gives an implication. So he gives a principle, he gives an example, and now he applies. And this is the Paul's application. So, connect with the verse before. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit from death for death. But now, by die to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit. It is not in the old way, and not in the old way of the written code. Now it's interesting, because in the gospel, who died? The husband or the wife? In verse 4 said it was the wife who died. Was not the husband. Can you get that? In the gospel, it's not the husband, the law, who dies, but the wife, the believers, us. We died because we died in Christ Jesus. And the point here is the believer dies when he identifies himself by faith with the death of Christ. So we died in Christ Jesus. When you believe in Christ, when you believed in Christ, in that moment, you died in Christ. And because you died in Christ, what's happened? The power of law was broken. Once the woman died, she broke her legal obligation with her husband. In our case, the law. And it's very interesting here because since she died and she was resurrected with Christ, and Christ died and he resurrected again, our marriage with Christ, it's forever. Let's see this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Romans chapter 6, verse 9 says, "For we know that since Christ raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him." Our marriage, our relationship with God through Jesus Christ is eternal. And this gives to me security. My relationship with Jesus cannot be broke. It's not about me, but it's about the covenant that was created between God, Jesus, and me as a church. The second main thing we see here from verse 7 to verse 13, he talks about the holiness and purpose of the law. And the first point here is the law is not sinful, but its purpose is reveal our sins. Verse 7. What shall you say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." So, the full knowledge of sin come from the law. Romans 3, chapter 20 says, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious for our sins." The second point here in verse 8 is the purpose of the law is to awaken sin in us. Verse 8, "But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead." My son here, Asaph, okay? Now, he is so quiet. I praise the Lord. They change. So there is hope for if you have a small kid very active. There is hope, okay? So just to let you know, when I came here in 2005, I have to travel with him in a leash, like a dog leash. Because he was 3 years old, and I could not take away my eyes from him because he just disappeared. If I say something, go right, he go left. So he was like, he was very curious for everything. How is inside? The problem, he breaks everything. And I remember that when I went to Joe Gosen's house here, his son asked, "Mom, please take care of my stuff and hide because as African come and break everything." This was this guy. Okay. So I remember when when he was 3 years old and I told him, he likes to, you know how we call socket? Power sockets here? Yeah. You understand? So he went to see inside. But I say, don't go there. Don't mess with that. But you know, this is the law. I said, his father said, don't do nothing with that. But because I say, don't do, raising him the desire to know what is inside. It's the same thing with us. The same thing. The law says, don't do this because this is wrong. But you have the sinful nature inside you. And this sinful nature just said, I need to do exactly in opposite. This is the point. So the law is not bad. The law is good. And many times I was always, when you hear, say, we are not live under the law, we live under the grace. Sometimes we have the tendency to think that the law is something very bad, is a burden. But no, the law is holy. The law is good. The problem is me. The problem is you. We don't like obey. Because our sinful nature that we brought from Adam. This is true. So, just to finish the story. I was outside working. And I just hear like, ah! And I just, he was 3 years old, even a little bit less. I went there. And he had the idea to get a metal knife and inside the hole and try to get this. No, here only I speak. No, no. So, and he just, no. This was another time. No. This was another time. This time was not the focus. He put his finger under the, now I get, into the hole. And because he was small, he tried to get inside to take off. But when he put 220 volts and throw him away, and I saw was like a hole here in his finger. Praise the Lord. After that, he never tried again. Yes, yeah, so sometimes happy with us. We know that is wrong. But we do, because it's forbidden. And because it's forbidden, attract. But sometimes when you do, we see how bad it is. You said, okay, now I know it's good. So the idea is, the purpose of the law is to awake sin in us. The law not only reveals the sin, show what is wrong, but stimulates and awakens in us the sin. The sinful nature that we have. The purpose of the law is to condemn our sin too, verse 9 to 11. Once I was alive, apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. This is the fact. So the man does not feel guilty of his bad deeds. So sin seduces, deceives, and kills. And the purpose of the law was to give life for us. But because we cannot fulfill the law, because the sinful nature that are inside of everyone here, we never can please God. There is no hope if you try to follow the law. And it's very sad that sometimes, even knowing that salvation comes by faith, knowing that salvation comes only through Jesus, if we forget, we try to see, okay, I'm go to the church every Sunday, cross is okay, I do this, and maybe you feel like, okay, I deserve my salvation, because I follow the law of, the law of the church. And you just change one law for another law. But praise the Lord that God didn't see you like that. When He looks at you, He sees Jesus. Jesus sacrifice. So you need hold on Him. Yes, as I told many times before, salvation is by grace, it's by faith. It's not by works. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. But after I receive Christ, I believe in Christ, I want to live in a different way, not to gain salvation, but to please my Father. This is the point. I don't need to gain anything. I already have. But I try to do what's right, because I know that I'll make God's smile for me. One thing that my family sometimes feel annoying is because I'm very open and I say things that my wife, why you sharing that? It's personal. And I'm sorry, this is how I am. So this week, sorry Azaf, okay? This week, I'm a hug guy, okay? And praise the Lord, Azaf is a hug with me at least. And I need that. And I bought our ticket to go to Brazil in June 4th. I didn't know that after I didn't get to the dates, but he applied to do a AGCAC test, but failed exactly one day or that day that you travel. So I said, I'm sorry, you will miss this test. But he was so sad because, I like geography and I want to do the test, but because of me, so he was sad. So the point is just to get background. So I went in. He came home. He came home, and I said, "Hey, give my hug." I gave a hug on him, and he didn't give my hug. He didn't see that, but I cried that moment when I felt rejected. Because he is my son that I always hug, and he hugged me back. I love you, do you know? And when I give that moment, I feel, and for me it was awful. And I told Andrea. And the next day, the same day, he said, "Dad, come here. I just want to say that I'm sad because happened this, and I lost the test." So I understood what he was feeling, and I said, "I'm sorry, but I really did not realize it was my mistake. I'm sorry." And I didn't ask anything. He just looked at me in this, and he gave me a hug. And for me, so only a father can feel. So what I'm going to say is that he never lost his place as my son. In the moment, even I feel like, I feel sad what he did, but I still loved him. In each moment, I was sad, but still loved him. But what's happened that moment that my relationship with him was some... Do you understand? But the moment that he said, you know, this was the problem, right? And we fixed. We just hugged. But our relationship always was the same. He is my son. He never will lose this status. This is what I'm talking about. So, I went off a point, sorry. But the point is, if you have Christ, even you messed up on the way, you always will be the son of God. The only thing you need is say, Dad, I'm sorry. I did wrong. Give him a hug. And he will hug you. But you always will be a child of God. If you are in Christ. If you are in Christ. So the purpose of the law is condemn our sin. So the law reveals, provokes, and condemns the sin, but is not responsible for our sin or our spiritual death. The law is good. The problem is us. Fourth, the law is holy. The problem is the weakness of the sin, verse 12, 13. We talk about that already. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that the sin might be recognized as sin, it uses what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. So the third and the last theme is the conflicts, weakness, and struggles of all believers. In the last part of chapter 7, Paul speaks of conflicts, the weakness we have, the weakness of our old nature, and the inner struggle that all believers are going through. And he gives his own example. So first, there is a conflict between the nature of the law and our nature. Two natures, new nature and old natures. Verse 14 says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. The law is spiritual, but we are not. This is a conflict of nature. So we as a believer, we have to live into this conflict. Second, there is a conflict between knowing and doing. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Can you relate to that? We know what is right. But as a believer, there is always a conflict between what you know and what you really do. Third, there is conflict between freedom and slavery. Verse 16, 17. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good, as it is. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. The point here is, if you know what is wrong, if you know what is right, but you not do, but still doing, so there is a tension, a conflict between be free, because we are free in Jesus Christ, and between be a slave under the sin. Because we still do what we don't want to do. This chapter, you need a lot of coffee, eh? To keep the mind. Fourth, we are almost done. Paul recognized our weakness and bondage to sin. Verse 18-20. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. Look, as Paul talk about himself. I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good. But I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do. But the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, well, it is no longer I who do it, but it's the sin living me that does it. It's struggle every day. Every day. Verse 25, 21 to 25, Paul recognized the inner struggle of every believer. So, I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. This is Paul talking about himself. And for us too. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and make me a prisoner of the law of sin at work with me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, I am slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, I slave to the law of sin. Can you see? We live in a struggle. The only day that this struggle will finish is when we die. Or when God come and take us. It's fight every day. But we cannot give up. We cannot lose hope. The Holy Spirit is inside you, inside me. Teach us. I remember that when I was 21 years old, when I accepted Christ. 6 months later, I was in a Bible Institute. And I'm sanguineous. I know that nobody knows that I'm sanguineous. I'm a sanguineous, okay? So, I react. And I don't remember exactly the fact, but the girl that who was work with me, cleaning in the Bible Institute, we were cleaning something. I know that she did something that made me so mad. So mad. I was only 6 month believer. So, new. I was so mad that I want to punch her. I was very mad. But I could not do this. So, I take out my clothes. And I instead her. This really happened. Can you believe? Praise the Lord. God is fixing me. Fixing me every day. For many things that I was used to do in the past, God worked me in my heart. How to see things. How to react for troubles when I have. When people come with harsh words, before I was ready to. And now I start to know how to deal with that. And this in all areas of our life. So you know what is your area. But God still work. God still work. The great reformer Melanchthon, talking about the strength of the old man, your old nature, he said, the old Adam is very strong from young Melanchthon. But thank God he is not strong enough for Christ. Jesus Christ our Lord will give us victory day by day and all day. This is where we have to have our strength in Jesus Christ. It's from him. So, you can forget everything for today. Remember two things. The takeaway for today. First, the law has not power over us because we die with Christ. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. There is no dominion of power of the law. The second thing, as long as we live in this body, we will face external and internal struggles. But Jesus Christ is the one who strengthens us every day until we reach our true home. It's all on him. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you very much for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your law. Law, the law, your law, the God's law is good. It's holy. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who help us, sanctify us every day. Thank you for the power of Jesus. Thank you because our forgiveness is not based on the ability we have to obey, but in the power of Jesus to keep us. We praise you. And we ask you to continue work in our hearts, to change us day by day, so we can become more and more like Jesus, our Savior Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.